Welcome back to Church and State, everybody. You know, this was an interesting week in regards to so-called inter-religious dialogue. The Vatican Radio reports that the World Methodist Council opened a new ecumenical office in Rome recently, and that they met these leaders from this World Baptist or Methodist, excuse me, council. From Methodist Council of Europe, Methodist Church in Britain, all these sorts of leaders, met with Pope Francis on Thursday this week. And Vatican Radio interviewed Gillian Kingston. Apparently she's the lay leader, the vice president of the World Methodist Council. And Gillian is from Ireland, and just listen to what she had to say.
I think ecumenical relations work on a number of levels, and as I see this, there is the ecumenical theological dialogue. The longest standing of these dialogues is our dialogue with the Roman Catholic Church. The ecumenical project must work at the level of church leadership and structures. And then thirdly, it must of course work among the people of God.
Notice the phrase, the people of God. The church is now using, the Catholic Church has now successfully spread this concept, this diabolical concept, to all quote-unquote Christians. Everyone's a person of God. I mean, the Pope, when he met with them, said, "We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and we come together united in the faith that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. This baptismal faith makes us truly brothers and sisters." The Pope said he was pleased with the Methodist ecumenical office being opened in Rome, and that it is a sign of our growing closeness to overcome all that stands in the way of our full communion. Well, what stands in the way of communion is that these folks reject that the Pope is the Pope, that he is the vicar of Christ. The Pope says, "This world today is afflicted by so much evil. We therefore must join together, inspired by the light of Easter, and become signs of love." Well, I forget who said it, but it is natural for man to focus on what they have in common. Man is a rational animal who desires peace and pleasantness and no suffering in this world. The flesh very much desires that. And this sort of rationalism, this sort of reasoned-based thinking, has seeped its way into the church since Vatican II. With ecumenism. Instead of saying, you know, what stands in the way of our full communion is that you accept the Pope, you accept the sacraments, you accept and submit to the faith and doctrine of all time, and that you come into the church and believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, soul and divinity of Christ, and that he was serious when he said, "He who listens to my followers," specifically the apostles, "listens to me." These people, this woman, Gillian, is utterly confused. And ecumenism keeps her in her confused state. If you believe something that is false, let's say you believe that 2 + 2 = 5, you're living in a dream world, you're living in a fantasy, you're living in a fiction. You're living something made up in your mind. The same thing goes for religion. If you're not adhering to the truth, the one true Catholic faith established by Christ, divinely protected by the Holy Spirit, doctrinally, you're living in a fantasy world. You're living and following the beliefs of the person who founded Methodism, the person who founded being a Baptist, the persons who founded being Quakers. You're following those men. You're not following Christ objectively. They are encircling these enemies of Christ and his one true religion, the Vatican. There's Jewish synagogues in Rome. There's these ecumenical Methodist organizations. Just the other, I think it was a year ago, Martin Luther Square was named in Rome. And the Vatican said nothing about it. They said, "Oh, it's no big deal." Because, of course, the Pope's going to go and celebrate Martin Luther. And what he did. Again, Pope John Paul II said Martin Luther was a profoundly religious man. This is not the mission that Christ entrusted us to. He said, to convert those who are of the world and to bring them to truth and to teach them everything I have taught them. How is this so-called dialogue, which is an end of missionary activity, an end of bringing others to the truth, how is this in any way following what Christ has said? It's not. It's absolutely not.